It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America. I thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm going to start off with a headline that broke this week and then try to put it in context of the larger picture. Obviously, we're all talking in various elements of our business or personal life about the changes coming out of Washington and how they might play out long term. Headline reads, Feds pause $50 million Biden-era investment in Great Salt Lake. So on the surface, if you are involved in trying to save the Great Salt Lake, which is one of the most important ecosystems in the world, for which there's an IMAX film entitled Secrets of Great Salt Lake that will be released later this fall, which has been sponsored by, from the conservation perspective, sponsored by Ducks Unlimited, and it's an effort between the state of Utah and conservation groups. Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation is also a sponsor, Ducks Unlimited, to raise international awareness about the plight of the lake and how saving the lake is of the utmost importance for not only wildlife, but for humanity. If the Great Salt Lake, which at its full basin level is about 1,800 square miles in size, were to go dry, we would have a catastrophic, I mean absolutely catastrophic, effect on the air quality in the American West, and people could not live around the Great Salt Lake, and nobody really knows quite how far away because of all the toxins that lay buried at the bottom of the lake. The most prevalent and concerning, of course, is arsenic, which is a naturally occurring substance that's laid at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake in the soils for, well, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years or longer, and it's not been exposed to any kind of open air situation. And today the Great Salt Lake is less than half of its size, 900 square miles, which leads to these absolutely horrific dust storms that periodically have occurred. And in fact, 2 years ago, Salt Lake City had the worst air quality in the world, the entire world, for a period of 2 days in August because of these dust storms, which are kicking up, of course, sedimentation and dust from the exposed bottom of the Great Salt Lake. So you got 900 square miles of the Great Salt Lake that is currently exposed to air. And if the whole thing were to go dry or substantially go dry from where it is now, the worry is that you couldn't live in the Great Salt Lake region. I mean, Salt Lake City, Ogden, the whole Wasatch Front would become uninhabitable for humans. And obviously, if there's no lake, one of the greatest important ecosystems for migratory birds on the planet doesn't exist. There are other stories about inland seas going dry. I'm not going to go into the whole story of the Great Salt Lake and inland seas today. But what I am going to say is that there has been now several years long effort to create an awareness about the plight of the Great Salt Lake and how the Great Salt Lake has to be saved. Part of that is the creation of an IMAX film to tell the world and show the world the importance and the beauty of the and majesty of the Great Salt Lake. Other things are taking place at a lower public relations level. One of the things that happened late in the Biden administration, and you have to think about politics for a moment, Utah is a overwhelmingly Republican state, and yet in this partisan world we live in, the Biden administration believed how important it was that the Great Salt Lake be saved, even though the state of Utah and its congressional delegation was not usually aligned with him and his administration, that they appropriated $50 million to the Bureau of Land Reclamation to save the Great Salt Lake. Well, what happened this week is that as part of the effort to look at federal spending, the Bureau of Reclamation announced that $50 million grant award was being paused, and that they would be reevaluating it in the context of all of the government grants. So is that a bad thing? I've had calls from friends of mine in Utah saying, this is terrible. The sky is falling. How could this happen? And my view is It will take place. The funding will be there, but it's going to be there in the context of a much more strategic strike. Again, this funding was only announced 2 months ago in December. Well, 3 months ago now. In December, while the Biden administration was still in place, $50 million is a lot of money, but it's not like they had the money already to spend. And interestingly, the Speaker of the House in Utah said it's not really a bad thing that it's been paused, because it will give us time to figure out how best to spend the money. So if you believe in politics, you're going to look at a Republican administration and a state in Utah, which is completely dominated by Republicans, and you're going to figure out, you're going to come to the conclusion, they're going to figure out a way to come together on this. And that's my sense. In the larger context, this is part of an entire nationwide, worldwide effort by the part of the administration to figure out where funds could be saved on projects that don't have great value. I would argue till the end of time that saving the Great Salt Lake is one of the highest priority efforts needed in America, not just because a few ducks go there, in fact, a lot of ducks go there, but because of what it means to us as a people. You're going to be moving millions of people off the Wasatch Front. Salt Lake City will likely not be there if the Great Salt Lake goes dry, or even if it's further diminished from its current levels. It's not going to be there. So this is really important, and I would argue it's some of the most important money the federal government can spend. Saying that, I also realize that as part of the process to determine what's important and what's not important, all of this federal funding is being paused. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the effects on conservation organizations, and in particular, the effects on Pheasants Forever, with their funding, where they have cooperative agreements with the Department of Agriculture through the Natural Resource Conservation Service, where their projects are being paused, and yet they have employees that they're actually paying money to, who now they don't have the means to pay the money to. In this case, it was an award of $50 million. Not a single penny of that has been spent yet. There isn't even there isn't even a plan for how the money would be entirely spent. You got the Speaker of the House in Utah saying, this actually isn't a bad idea. It gives us a chance to figure out really how we can effectively spend the money. So that is different than pausing the money for ongoing programs like the ones that Pheasants Forever and others have, where they actually have personnel and people on the ground working in concert with the Department of Agriculture, Department of Interior. Those are jobs that could go away immediately, and then bringing them back if they decide that they're worthwhile won't be so easy. So it's a case where I've been talking about for weeks. There's going to be dislocation in what's taking place. The end goal is to make sure that the funds are being spent as effectively as possible. For the Great Salt Lake, as I said a moment ago, we should argue as hard as we can and as loud as we can. We don't save the Great Salt Lake. We as an American country are going to be really compromised. Where are you going to put 2 million people who live on the Wasatch Front? What are you going to do with the pollution from the Great Salt Lake as it wafts eastward and covers Denver and maybe Cheyenne, and maybe it even makes it all the way to Chicago? We have no idea how far these microscopic particles of arsenic can be carried in the jet stream. It's quite possible that our air quality in Chicago would suffer to some degree because of the drying out of the largest inland sea in North America, the Great Salt Lake. We can't let it happen. $50 million is not going to be the difference between saving the Great Salt Lake and having it go dry. It's just part of what is needed on a massive scale to save the Great Salt Lake. But for right now, it's been put on pause, as have many other worthy programs been put on pause. I think that when the dust settles, and no pun intended with that, but when things get sorted out, we'll find that worthy programs such as this are probably even funded at a higher level because their importance will be recognized. When I come back, I'm going to talk about something that I love to talk about this time of the year, and that is sports shows, outdoor shows. So don't leave me. I have an interesting take on what's happened to, at least I think it's interesting, an interesting take on what's happened to an industry that used to dominate this time of the year and now is but just a shell of itself. And I also want to end up talking about, if I can, what's happened to Greenpeace in a lawsuit that could change the face of litigation and conservation. You are listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And before I jump into sports shows, outdoor shows, I want to just touch on something I talked about last week at some length, and that is snow geese. A number of you commented that you did not realize that birds would change their migratory patterns so dramatically. I think snow geese are really the harbinger of much of what's to come. As agricultural practices keep changing, birds are adapting. And just like a bird feeder outside of your window in the winter, you take an area where there was a completely barren landscape, put a bird feeder out there, and the next thing you know, birds have found it. And then they keep coming to it. So as agriculture has changed, and particularly no-till farming has taken hold, snow geese have been adapting maybe more readily than any other species on Earth. They just happen to be a visual species. We can see them. We can hear them and the noise they make when they migrate. So, yes, species are adapting all the time or they'll perish. Snow geese could just be telling us how other species are going to adapt in the coming years. It may not adapt as fast as they have, but over 50 years, there probably has been no single species that has changed their migratory patterns greater than that of the snow geese. And in their case, it's been able them to have huge success in building their populations. So from snow geese and sports shows, they're tied together. Sports show season. I've been involved in the sports show season, as many of you know, for a lot of years. Used to go to the sports shows as a kid when they were down at the International Amphitheater. Went to the great show at Rosemont, which was run by John Dobberton and Bill Cullerton. The biggest show in the country was the outdoor show at Rosemont. And today, well, it barely exists, if it exists at all. Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show. Maybe the most iconic. It wasn't the biggest. It was the third biggest. But after Minneapolis, it was the oldest. And today, it's a three-day show. In the 1990s, it was a 10-day show. And hundreds of thousands of people, and that is not an exaggeration, hundreds of thousands of people came to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show over a 10-day run. There were 500 exhibitors from all over North America. If you wanted to book a trip to a lodge or resort in Canada or in the North Country or the Ozarks, you went to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show. If you wanted to buy a boat, you went to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show. If you wanted to tour Wisconsin, you went to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show. It was the gathering place for the outdoor industry, as was Minneapolis, run by Dave Perkins, and as was Chicago, run by John Dobberton, with the incredible assistance of Bill Cullerton for so many years. Those three shows defined the outdoor industry. It was like the auto show. They kicked off the year. And if you were into hunting, fishing, boating, camping, the entire outdoor world, you went to one of these shows, and it was an annual gathering. You saw old friends. You went with friends. You visited the booths of exhibitors that either whose lodges you might have gone to in the past or were trying to go to. It was like old home week. And then after the beginning of the internet, these things began to take a turn south. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel actually figured out a way with the power of the newspaper and a management team actually how to have the sports show grow at a time when other shows were shrinking and Chicago began to go south literally sooner than any of them. And part of that was that other shows became parasites on it. You had the Muskie show, you had the Walleye show, you had the Bass show, you had the Whitetail show. So all of these vertically integrated shows that were singular species began to pull away from the overall great sports show. So if you were a Muskie fisherman, you went to the Chicago show in Rosemont, or you went to the show in Milwaukee because that's where the Muskie show, the Muskie lures were and the Muskie outfitters. Well, then they broke off and they had their own show, and they might have had it in St. Charles, and it might have been 2% of the size of the old show at Rosemont. That's probably a realistic comparison, but that's where the Muskie fishermen went. So they stopped going to the Rosemont show. In the case of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel show, just because of the power of the Journal Sentinel and what the show represented to Wisconsin and Northern Illinois, it went from a 10-day show to a 5-day show, and it stayed that way, and it was a blockbuster and did really well until 2015, 2016, that time period when, again, technology just began to gut the show. And then, of course, COVID took place. So this weekend, March 7th, 8th, and 9th, you can go to Milwaukee and go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show. But it's not the show it was. And I used to tell people, if you want to go have a great time, drive up to Milwaukee, get a brat and a beer, and go to the sports show. You'll see friends. You'll see incredible exhibits. A 3-day show with a fraction of the exhibitors it used to have is not the same deal. And not only is it a fraction of the exhibitors, the exhibitor mix has changed. The hundreds of lodges and resorts that you used to go see, there aren't many there. The great Ed Shirley, of course, was up there for years. He's gone. Dan Basor would go up there with his antique fishing lure exhibit and thrill people with the history of fishing lures. And actually, it was very interesting. He's gone. Chevrolet used to have a big display about all the new outdoor gear and Chevy trucks. That's gone. The industry's changed. And sadly, I don't know the industry is going to survive. So as I think about ending the show, which I'm going to do now, it used to be a time of the year when we look forward to going indoors to get ready for the great outdoors by going to the greatest sports shows on earth. Sadly, there are very few left, and they're going fast. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. And when I do, I will talk about Greenpeace and lawsuits. It's a fascinating story. Thanks for being with me. Have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.